joining me now, and it's a warm welcome to the program for Leanne Elliston, the Senior Dietitian and the CEO at Nutrition Australia ACT. Leanne, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Saskia. Thanks for having me.
Now, this is a really interesting proposition from England. They've been talking about it for quite some time. It's been in the works for a while, and other parts of the UK say they will implement similar bans. What's your take on it? A ban on these specials for unhealthy foods in our supermarkets?
Yeah, look, I think this is absolutely one important measure that we need to think about when it comes to setting up, you know, healthier food environment for our society. And it's not going to be the only thing that's going to make a difference, but it will contribute towards making a difference. And I think we're really quite lucky to see this is happening over in the UK, and we can watch and see how that goes and learn from that. And hopefully, you know, we will be able to lean on some of the learnings and be able to do something similar here in Australia as well.
I may need to make clear that it's not a ban on junk food altogether, because some of our texters are saying, you know, we complain about living in a nanny state, but we can't make our own decision not to scoff a big bag of twisties. There's no talk about banning the junk food altogether. It'd still be available. It's banning those like 2-for-1 deals that you see a lot of the time. Leanne, why is it? Do you have any idea why we see these types of deals more often for things like bags of chips and chocolates than we do for healthier items in the supermarket?
Yeah, look, we see it a lot, don't we? And it's like probably you see twice as much of the less healthier foods being promoted and offered discounts than you would for the healthier foods. And, you know, it really comes down to the food industry and their ability to offer those kinds of specials, and also the food sellers, so the supermarkets as well, in allowing those sorts of specials to occur. Plus, we have such a huge amount of these kinds of foods available. You know, you walk into the supermarket and you actually are confronted with so many of these lesser, healthier options, and there's just more of them in the first place. And I think that having, you know, certainly it's not telling people not to buy it. It's not taking it away. It's not taking that choice away. We all need to have that choice. We all need to be able to have that opportunity to go and grab some chocolate or ice cream when we really feel like it and want to enjoy it. Mm. But it's about making it less easily purchased. You know, when you go to the supermarket and see 2-for-1, it's only human nature to think, oh, that's a bargain, I'm going to get that, when you hadn't really intended to buy it in the first place.
Yes.
And so that's the kind of purchasing that we really want to try and see a little bit more control of. And I actually think that it can be quite helpful. And as I said, we don't want to take these foods away from people. These foods play a really important role in our lives and our enjoyment of foods. But it's about making it, it's driving, you know, preventing that real incentive for overconsumption of some of those foods when we really don't need to be eating too much of them in the first place.
Yes, and to your point about these foods still needing to be available, Jenny and Kayleen on the text line raises an interesting perspective. You say, my year 6 son is raising money for his graduation. He's buying cheap chocolates for the fundraiser when they're on special. He'll raise twice as much money if they're half price. However, we do limit junk food as a family, says Jenny and Kayleen. Leanne, I'm sure, you know, from your perspective, you're the CEO of Nutrition Australia. It must be frustrating to see that there are not really so many incentives for people to buy healthy foods. Is that right, or am I missing something? Are there lots of incentives that I'm just not seeing?
Yeah, look, you know, it's a bit mixed. I think when you look at, if you go to the fruit and vegetable section of the supermarket, you know, you can buy a bag of carrots for $2. And I know that, you know, the strawberries were quite cheap for a while there as well. And that was fantastic. And but of course, that changes. You don't get that consistent price measure when it comes to the fruit and vegetables. And also sometimes, particularly young people, and that story doesn't surprise me, that you just mentioned with the young person trying to make some money and is using, I guess, selling chocolates as a way to do that. It has been a very common and a thing that we've often done in our society, and easy for him to do. But wouldn't it be great if he could turn that around to something like, I don't know, mangoes or strawberries or something like that? And so a lot of it is a bit of a culture shift as well. And the sorts of ways that we look at making money and fundraising, I think, is part of it. Mm. And yeah, I feel like There are healthier options that are cheap out there, but sometimes they're just not marketed enough or they're not in our face enough, like some of these less healthy foods always are. And we sometimes have to step past that, big specials aisle to get to those healthier foods, and also to know what to do with those foods and incorporate them more in our diet and start to really enjoy them. And it really starts from a young age, how we expose our children to those sorts of foods as well.
Something that I am a big fan of, and I've noticed some of the major supermarkets doing this, is that they have a little basket where they put, you know, apples and bananas and mandarins that are there for young people to pick up and eat while they are walking around the supermarket with their parents. And these fruits are totally free and they're there, you know, specifically for kids to munch on while they're shopping. Things like that I see and I think, okay, well, there is some work happening in this space. And I mean, that does feel reassuring to me, Leanne.
Oh yeah, and I think that is fabulous to see that, and I just love to see children, you know, we're shopping with their parents in the first place, which is a great experience for them in the supermarket, whilst snacking on a mandarin or an apple or a banana, which is it's fantastic. So you're right, there are some measures, and of course, you know, the fresh food options are also GST exempt as well. So that's, I suppose, another measure in place that sometimes we forget about. And it's really important that we ensure that GST exemption continues to occur on the purchase of fresh, you know, core foods that we need to have as part of our daily diet. So there is to a degree some measures happening, but at the same time, you know, food industry plays a big role and how some of these foods are marketed to people and how they are made available, so easily available to people. And look, let's face it, a lot of these less healthy foods, they're high in sugar, they're high in salt, they taste great. We're naturally drawn to them anyway because we're just human beings and they're flavours that we're drawn to. They're easy to eat, they're convenient, and then add on, make them cheaper. It's just a win-win for selling more of those foods. So if we can sort of remove that incentive of buying more for less, I suppose, of these sorts of foods, it may help us to, you know, think a bit more carefully about what we're spending our food money on and making sure that we do have those healthier options more accessible and more available and more affordable for people to include in their everyday shop.
Do you think we should give it a little bit of time and see how this goes in England before thinking about implementing a ban here? Or do you think we have enough information already, Leanne, to be having this conversation right now?
Well, I think it's important that we use this opportunity to learn from other countries and what they're doing. And I think we do have some a way to go to make it happen here, because there's a fair bit that would come into, well, how will we define these products that are not able to be, given these price incentives. So there'll be categorization and criteria required at the back end. And we do have a lot of that structure already in place in some initiatives around the country at the moment, like with, for instance, the front of pack labelling and with the star labels and so on. Whilst it's happening in the UK, I think it's a good opportunity for us to observe. But certainly think about using this as one of the levers to help us improve our diet. But it's certainly not going to be the only thing. It's one of many factors that we need to be working on and that the government needs to really seriously consider as a measure to improve the nutritional well-being of our society.
Leanne, thank you so much for your time this morning. Much appreciated.
You're most welcome. Thanks, Saskia.
You have a great day. Leanne Elliston there, our senior dietitian and the CEO of Nutrition Australia, ACT. It is 19 minutes past 9.